Thank you so much for joining us at Faith Community Fellowship, where we are one church meeting in three different locations. Our goal is to build communities that love God, love people, and move our faith forward. If you'd love to learn more about FCF or how to get more involved, visit us online at fcffamily.com.
Hey, good morning. Everybody good this morning? Yes. Merry Christmas. You look fantastic. Y'all have learned how sensitive and insecure I am, so that's awesome. So great to have you today. If you're a guest, thank you for being a part of the Faith family. This is our second last Christmas service, and can you believe 2024 is here? But how many of you are ready? How many of you are ready for Christmas Day? It looked like some of you are still struggling. I don't know if that's true or not, but great to have you. My name is Mike, and I'm the lead pastor here on our Springville campus. And if you are new, we have FCF has three campuses: Trustful, Pell City, and this one. And just very, very grateful that you chose to be a part of Springville today in our worship of the Lord. Don't you just love this? This is my favorite service of the year by far. I just love the intimacy of it. Love the opportunity we have to give honor and praise to whom honor and praise is due. Amen. So thank you for being a part today. If you have, if you've been here for a couple of weeks, maybe this is your Christmas Eve service and you hadn't been here the last couple of weeks, a couple things just to bring you up to speed. This, of course, would be our last message in our Christmas series. And the first week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the sound of Christmas, and that's what we've really been looking at, the sound of Christmas. So we learned 2 weeks ago that really the original sound of Christmas was the sound of praise and worship. It's the sound of praise and worship. You know what we learned? Is that it worship, praise, is outward. It's an outward expression. You cannot worship and praise silently. Hello. Right? So now I know some of us have grown up in settings, and I did not grow up in the church, so I didn't have a lot of that. But when I would go to church, it was kind of one of those, like, anybody? Come on, if Jesus had moved, it would have scared everybody to death. If there had been any. I mean, you couldn't chew gum. Come on, somebody. Right? Y'all that's got coffee, y'all in trouble. Hot chocolate in the church, are you kidding me? But praise and worship is an outward expression. You can't, nowhere in Scripture do you see silent praise. I mean you just don't. And so we know that it is an outward expression. Last week, we learned a really valuable lesson about Christmas, and that is that love gives. Giving is the heartbeat of Christmas. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. What comes out of a heart of love? Giving. Christmas, the heartbeat of Christmas is giving, right? I mean, you got to get the perfect gift. Now, I have a question for you. How many of you start your Christmas shopping like February? I know there's some of you are a little shy about that right now, but I mean, as some of you are going to start next week. Okay, we're going to have prayer after service, a little deliverance maybe. But some of you start so early. I mean, you just love Christmas. And let me say, where are all my young people? That is the quietest y'all have ever been in your whole life. I say, where are all my young people? Okay. Hey, some of you old guys back there, your hand raised. Y'all, sin. So let me just, I'm going to give you a little lesson here, okay? So you young'uns, right? Y'all have no idea about Christmas. I mean, y'all look online, you get toy reviews. Come on. You create a wish list. How many of you have an Amazon wish list? Come on. I mean, you're 3 years old. You got an Amazon wish list. What's happening? I mean, it's crazy. How many of you remember this little puppy right here? Come on, we're going to have a revival this morning, right? This is a real thing right here. I mean, I'm telling you, we didn't have it. You had no reviews. You couldn't go find out what the best toy was or what the greatest, latest thing was. You got the catalog. What's it called? All right, if you said Sears and Roebuck, you really old. I'm not going to even go there, but I'm just. So you'd get the catalog, and man, what you'd get to do is you'd get to thumb through this little bad boy, right? And you'd get all, they're all kind of look at those toys, like a farm. Isn't that that is cutting edge, right? That is a digital farm. No, it's not. So you would look through here and you would find the toy that you wanted. What would you do?
Circle.
Huh? Circle it. That's right. What do y'all talk? Y'all never circle the catalog. So, all right, so you'd make a list, right, for mom and dad, and then what would you put on the list?
Page number.
Page number is really important. You were in first service. You're cheating. You'd list the item, you would describe it so it was clear, and then you'd put the page number on. This thing right here would change your life, let me tell you. This is how you picked out. There was a search going on for just the right toy. You know what? You look at Christmas, it's a search, isn't it? Man, it's just the perfect gift. I got to find just the perfect thing for that person, just the perfect stocking stuffer for that person, unless you're shopping this afternoon, then you take what's left. Yeah, right. Just the perfect gift. I want to suggest to you that the first Christmas was not a lot different, actually. The times were turbulent, culture was chaotic, things were really, really crazy. The whole world in the first century was searching. They were looking. They were trying to find relief and deliverance. That was the first Christmas. Something that would change their life. It was all about a search. So when you look at the first Christmas, Jesus is about to be born. And I want to suggest to you that, in fact, if you're looking for the notes today, you can go on our app and the notes are there for the Springville campus. It's FCF family. And love for you to follow. Joseph and Mary were searching for a place. They were trying to find a place that Mary could give birth to this Christ child. Let's look at it in Luke chapter 2. We've been looking at this the last couple of weeks. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem, to Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth. Now, let me just stop right there for a second. There were no monogrammed onesies. There's no applique. There's no christening gown. Mary took what she had. She snugly wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no lodging available for them. So what you have is a search. Mary and Joseph are trying to find a place that Mary can deliver the Christ child. Now, I don't want to destroy some of your Christmas theology here. I might mess you up just a little bit if you've been to some pageants and performances of Christmas and you've got the innkeeper, right? Let me just tell you, Hilton did not exist in the first century. Marriott was not there. You weren't even smart enough to stay in a Holiday Inn Express. None of those existed. Really, typically what happened in this time is that you would go back for this census and the city would be packed with people. I mean, you can just imagine it is shoulder to shoulder. Everybody is packed in the city, and you would really stay with family mostly, or maybe friends. And what happens to Mary and Joseph is they get there and there's no room. None of their family has any room for them, and the only place they could go was really out where the animals were. Typically, it would have been under the house or just outside the house. And that's where Mary and Joseph would give birth to the Christ child. There was no lodging available. Mary and Joseph were looking for a place. I want us to look at another group of people that were searching, and that's the shepherds. The shepherds were searching for what? A manger. The shepherds were desperately trying to find this manger that we just read about. In fact, continue in Luke 2, let's look at a couple scriptures here. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks at night. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and a radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were what? They were what? How many of you would have been terrified if you're kind of outside shopping, you're about to walk into Von Maur and an angel appears? Come on, somebody. I mean, you'd be terrified. It's exactly what happens. These shepherds are terrified. An angel reassures them. Don't be afraid, he says. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to who? Who are all the people? Us. We're all the people. So he was coming. He would bring great joy. That's what the angel said. To all of the people. 2,000 years later, he brings great joy. Can you say amen to that? The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Verse 13. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. So if one angel is not enough, man, a whole choir shows up outside Von Maur. It is frightening what's happening. These guys are scared to death. These angels are praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, look at this, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby, where? Lying in a manger. This is such a significant part of the story. God would choose, and I don't mean to be disparaging of anyone, but the truth was, in the first century, the lowest of the low were shepherds. They were the least of all. And I think it's amazing that God chose to reveal this historic event to shepherds. Randy Alcorn says this, it's in your notes, be on the screen. Smug religious leaders maintained a strict caste system at the expense of shepherds and other common folk. Shepherds were officially labeled sinners, a technical term for a class of despised people. You go, Mike, why is that really all that important? Why is that detail significant to the story? I'll tell you why it is. Because when God sent Jesus into the world, he sent Jesus to everyone, to all of the people, not just the religious elite, not just the financial elite, but he sent Jesus to everyone. Let me make this personal. God sent Jesus for you. Nobody had to earn it. It wasn't the typical. Now, the religious leaders, they were looking. They thought, man, this king was going to come for them. It's not what God chose to do. He chose to reveal the coming of Jesus to the lowest of low, to the simplest of society, to shepherds. I think that's significant for every one of us in this room today. Because it doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been, Jesus came, hear me this morning, for you. He came for you, he came in your circumstance, in your impossibility. Let's look at a third one. There's another group that was searching. Wise men were searching for a king. Let's take a left turn and go back to Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, wise men came from eastern lands, arrived in Jerusalem asking where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw a star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Now, the Greek translators that translated the scripture, this word right here, wise men, is actually a word you know, magi. It's a word magi. Now, what magi really means is maybe a little bit different than you would envision. So a magi really loosely covered a wide variety of men and professions. These were typically men who had a lot of interest in dreams. They were astrologers. They kind of dealt in sorcery a little bit. They were constantly looking for this mysterious future. And that's who these magi really were. And what were they searching for? They were searching for a king. That they were searching for a ruler. You see, remember, Jesus came at a very difficult time in Israel's history. Things were not good. Israel was in bondage and in captivity to Rome. There was the highest level of persecution of the Jewish people that existed. And these wise men knew. They knew this prophecy. They knew this prophetic word. They knew what had been foretold. And they were looking for a king. They were looking for relief. They were looking for someone that would come and deliver them. Searching. So you go all the way back to the first Christmas. Searching. Mary and Joseph were searching. The shepherds were searching. The wise men were searching. So here's my question for all of us this morning. What are you searching for? What are you searching for this morning? Are you searching for the right things? Are you searching in the right places? Some of you may be here today and you know, boy, Mike, if I just got a raise, man, it would just solve everything. If I just had more income, if I was just a little happier, then it would just change everything. If I just had better friends, don't point. If I just had better friends, man, it would just change everything for me. Friends, let me just remind us this morning, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things in and of themselves. Listen, I hope you get a raise. I hope you get better friends. I hope I'm in that list. But let me remind you of something today. There is nothing and no one that will fill that void in your heart but Jesus. You can go look everywhere you want to look. You can search as far and wide as you want to search. But there's nothing that will fill that void like the person of Jesus. Friends, that's why he came. He wanted you to find him. In fact, here's the really cool thing. You may be searching. He's been pursuing you from the beginning. He's been chasing you since the beginning. You see, God knew what we would need. He knew that it wasn't a raise. He knew it wasn't just more fun. He knew it wasn't just something that would make us happy. He knew what we would need. In fact, if our greatest need had been information, you know what? He would have sent us an educator. If your greatest need had been technology, he would have sent a scientist. If our need had been money, he would have sent us an economist. If our need had just been pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But friend, here's the reality. Our greatest need involved our sin. Our greatest need involved our alienation from Him, our profound rebellion. That was our greatest need. In light of that, God sent a Savior. He sent you what you really needed. You see, all those things are nothing wrong with those things. But if we don't have Jesus, we've missed it all. None of the other is even going to make any sense. You see, when He sent us a Savior, He sent us the light of the world. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back. John chapter 8, let's look at this as they come back. John chapter 8, verse 12. This is Jesus Himself talking. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you follow Me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to what? Life. I don't know what you came with today. I don't know what you're searching for. I don't know, maybe somebody drug you here. I don't know. But friends, I want to remind you that He is the light of the world. He is a Savior that came just for you. And maybe as we've talked about this world that's tumultuous, this world that is chaotic, this world that is in trouble. Friends, this world's in trouble. But maybe when you look at that, what I would suggest is maybe that's your life. Maybe you're in this room this morning and man, it's just a mess. And I want to invite you today, you look around. As you're searching for whatever you're searching for, there's only one person that can change your life, and His name is Jesus. There's only one pursuit that's going to make it all make sense. His name is Jesus. Hey, go search for all the other things you want to search for, but I hope this Christmas and even in this service this morning that you'll search for the one that can really change it all. I want you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Maybe you're here this morning and there's that longing, that unsettling in your heart. Man, you've been on that proverbial hamster wheel. And I just want to remind you today that He loves you. That's what Christmas is all about. He loves you so much that He came. You can search all kinds of places, but what I want to invite you to do today is surrender your heart to Him. Surrender your life to Him. He is pursuing you. He pursued you 2,000 years ago. That's why He gave His life. Others of you in this room, you look at your life this Christmas 2023 and maybe looks a whole lot like the world Jesus came into or the world that we live in. Maybe your life's a little chaotic. It's a little stressful. It's a little oppressive. And if you're really honest, you'd say, Mike, I'm tired. Tired of trying to make it work. I'm tired of trying to make it figure it all out. Listen, I have good news for you. Jesus is the light of the world. He wants to meet you right where you are this Christmas. The greatest gift you will give this Christmas is your heart and your life. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. You go, Mike, that's me. I'm tired. I need to surrender my heart to Jesus this Christmas. If that's you, would you just lift your hand real quickly? I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm not going to call you out, but I want to pray for you because I believe what God wants you to know today is that's why He sent Jesus for you this morning, December 24, 2023. Mike, that's me. Would you just slip your hand up and right back down? Thank you. Thank you. Someone else, Mike, that's me. I just need to surrender my heart. Maybe you're sitting there and you're just tired. You've been trying, you've been working hard, you've been trying to make all this make sense, and it's tiring. You say, Mike, I'm just going to give it all to him this Christmas. I'm going to turn it all over to Jesus. Just lift your hand up right back down. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mike, I look at my circumstance and it's exhausting. I need Jesus. Someone else, really quickly, would you slip your hand up? Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for the incarnation. I thank you for the fact that you came. God, you looked all the way through time and you saw us sitting in this room this morning in 2023. You gave your life for me. You knew I would need rescue. You knew I would need a Savior. And God, I pray today that every person in this room that lifted their hand, God, I pray that they would experience you right now as they invite you in, as they surrender their life, God, that they would invite you to come in, be the Lord of their life. If they would realize the search is over. We find you, the search is over, because you meet every need that we have. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being in this room this morning. Thank you for changing our life. We love you today. In Jesus' name. Come on, would you shout a big amen? Are you glad that he came? Would you do that?
Thanks for listening to this week's past message. We hope and pray that it encouraged you and helped move your faith forward. If you'd love to learn more about FCF or how to get more involved, visit us online at fcffamily.com.